with the soul not yours to keep, no sleep, because you're simply out of reach. Cause I'll no see you, baby. In fact, my soul is even blacker than yours. I'll no see you, baby. It's just the way, it's just the way it is. I'll no see you, baby. In fact, my soul is even blacker than yours. I'll no
5 WMFO in Medford, and that's brand new from Inverter. The album's called Another Avalanche, Inverter, and I happen to have them right here on the phone. Hey, guys.
Hey.
What, are you having conversations without me?
Yes, all good stuff.
Talking about me?
Yeah, back in the days of mine at Beach.
Oh, God. Crazy times. Ryan? Not much. I got Deke and Bill Bracken here. I've known Bill since, I think I was in junior high school when I first met Bill.
Oh, man.
Friends with
poor soul.
He was friends with my older brother and sister.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. So, you played a track off the album. Thank you.
Yes, that's No Savior.
No Savior.
I see you guys, this is your third album, huh?
Yeah,
it is. We're going to talk on each other the whole time.
Oh,
yeah, that's what it's tough doing phone interviews. Like, Bracken, shut up. It's my turn.
No. You talk too much. Okay, I'm going to let you talk.
We'll let Bill talk first because he gets fatigued real quickly.
I like he calls me and talks like a little girl, and I'm like, who the hell's playing with the phones? I'm waiting for a call. It's Bill.
I haven't changed.
It's good to hear from you.
Yeah. Deke, go ahead. You can talk.
Yeah, he got fatigued already. The track you just played was off our third album, Another Avalanche, which I think is the second album we did with Jamie Locke. And Jamie Locke, he recorded the album for us, but he's worked with bands like bands I love, in particular like Madball, Obituary, Prong. I especially love the band Prong.
I see.
The Chrome Bags, Hardcore Legends, and a ton of other bands, Vision of Disorder, Fury of Five, a hardcore band. So my roots are kind of in that stuff. So
yeah, I see you have someone from Prong on one of your songs.
Yeah, Prong's like one of my favorite bands ever, I would say, consistently. I got a lot of bands I love. I grew up, I actually played drums in bands forever. This is the only band I've not played drums in. And that was all based on being obsessed with Nico McBrain and Iron Maiden. But in terms of consistency, there's very few bands in my list of ones I love that have pumped out good albums time and time again. Prong is one of them. I hate to say it, but Iron Maiden is not, even though they're probably my favorite band of all time. They've put out a couple dud albums, but most of their stuff is just like worship worthy. They're amazing, and I'll never disrespect them. That wasn't supposed to be that. And a band like Clutch might be another one. So I have this very short list of bands I really, really, really love. And to have Tommy Victor, we reached out to him, agree to appear on the album was like, holy crap, having seen this band live when I was a kid and then drummed along in headphones to most of their albums. You know, I can play quite a few of their albums start to finish. It was really cool to work with him on that track.
Yeah, is it a prong song? Or?
No, we wrote it. I wrote the lyrics and everything. We just had him guest. I sent him, he's like, can I see the lyrics after, you know, we kind of talked to him. He's like, yeah, these are cool. I dig it. So he just, we sent him the stuff, and he did it in his studio to add to it. And we kind of went back and forth with some notes. He gave us a bunch of versions rhythmically of trying new stuff. And I just, it was like a long-distance collaboration, let's call it, because it was in the midst of, you know, the kind of the COVID spike earlier on.
Yeah.
He was in California. We were in Boston, and no one was flying at the time because you couldn't. Lots of flights were canceled. So It was kind of interesting to do that and to put out an album during COVID. We kept hitting the studio no matter what.
That's
was
great.
With this album. You know, so this is our third album with this band, and we started it before COVID, started recording it, and then obviously we had to stop. And then we finished it, like, end of December 20, early 21. We went back in. And I don't know, you know, I can hear the guitar tunes from the two different sessions, and I'm just like, you know. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was from the second session. I didn't tweak my amp good enough in that, you know, at that session. But it's funny, yeah. If anybody can tell me which songs were recorded in which session, I'll give you a prize. But it was an interesting way to, you know, to go back and then pick up where we left off. It was definitely a different way of doing a record, and different than what we've done in the past. Usually we go in there and bang it all out in a weekend, and then, you know, then add some vocals and some mixing and stuff. But this was a longer process, but the final product is, I love it. It's a great album. I even love the cover art.
Who's that doing
cover?
That?
This guy, Kristen Anderson. He's based out of Florida. I did a speaking gig with him in Fargo, North Dakota. He's an artist. And I'm friends with him on Facebook. I saw these things he was doing. I'm like, that's pretty cool, man. Can we, like, take a piece of that, you know, and pay you for the rights to use? We changed a couple little things on it.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, Kristen Anderson is his name, out of Florida, somewhere down there.
Yeah.
It's actually the first time we've used, the first album was like some random art piece, like a desolate industrial landscape, but I do a lot of the weird art for it here and there, just because we can't find anything else we like. I'm like, I guess I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that, so we're lucky we found him.
Well, and, you know, we all like Deke's art. I don't know if many people know Deke's also an artist.
Well, I just found out.
Yeah, his artwork is... It kind of looks like our music, so.
Well, the thing is, they all say, yeah, use this and that. I don't like my own art, a lot of it. I'm like, I don't want to use that. That sucks.
Yeah, right.
It's good. So it's like most artists, you hate your own work, and I wanted to do something, support some other person. So that person made a little loot out of it. They got their, you know, I sent him a couple copies of the album. He was psyched.
That's cool.
Said it's the first time he's had his artwork used as an album, even though he's done a bunch of other commercial stuff. So kind of worked out nicely.
He's got his name on there. He's got to be psyched.
Yeah, his name's on the album on the back, too. I wanted to make sure he got proper credit, because sometimes you see albums with these, like, kick-ass artwork and all that. I'm like, who did that? Mm-hmm. Who is this pushead? You know?
I see you did the back cover here.
Yeah, that was just me doodling over some remnants of his artwork, because we just need to fill in the blanks. I have, like, I do all my artwork by hand, so any of the digital stuff, I'm like a total caveman with.
I hear you.
Banging,
me too.
Banging my head against the computer screen, hoping for results. Mm-hmm. Pounding the keyboard with my fist, making monkey sounds. And that was just something I doodled with the lowest free version of, like, Adobe, like a print shop kind of thing. Like, it was like a 1980s,
It looks cool.
Computer program. It's just very, because it's tough to, like, get any straight lines when you're drawing with a mouse. I don't do it. So
right.
I just did these weird abstract scribbly things that kind of were inspired by the band Quicksand. They put out an album. I forget who the artist was. They put out this album, Manic Compression, which had this really cool signature style of artwork, these figures in the cover. And so loosely inspired by that. It's a band I really dig.
Why don't we play another one off this, huh?
Yeah, go for it.
What do you want? Which track do you want me to play?
Whatever one has the most swears.
No, let's stay away from the swears.
I'm kidding. This album's like pretty...
Devil.
Yeah, I want to add real quick, this album, the last one was full of swears. Every track except one had swears. This album, I believe, every track is clean except one. that has swears.
Well, that's good to know, because I put all your albums into the system when I came in here.
Yeah, so I'll have to go back in the other albums and try to figure out which one. Anyways, yeah, this one is, like, really clean. I challenged myself. I'm like, how can I get away with making it intense but not using the F-bomb left and right in the breakdowns?
Right.
And I think the only track that's not clean is one called Party Till You're Dead.
Yep, I see it. Okay, Dark White Devil?
Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
Go for it.
All right, here we go. It's Inverter off their new album, Another Avalanche. And we'll be right back to talk with them some more. Inverter.
Yeah.
Off Another Avalanche, Dark White Devil.
Yeah.
You got something to say about that, Bill?
That we wrote that like 5 years ago and then shelved it. And it was pretty cool at the time. And then I don't know why we shelved it. And then I kind of found it, discovered it a year or two ago, and I said to Deke, I go, we have to finish this song. This song is awesome. And he, of course, he's like, I told you it was awesome. You didn't like it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I like it now, so we got to finish it.
ADD,
good stuff.
It is a great song. It's one of my favorites now, and it was cool to add the acoustic there in the intro and put some different tones and colors into the inverter sound.
Right.
That's a little story about that song.
I think that track, too, is a little bit different than some of the other ones and stuff we've done in the past. And even on this album, we're branching out, but naturally you kind of change your style, you progress, you're influenced by different things.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple tracks later in the album that like are almost like a straight rock tunes, not even so much metal. There's one that almost has like, it's almost a pop-ish.
Oh, Last tune. Summer?
Yeah. It's a song all about horror movies and references that are all hidden in the lyrics. It's called Last Summer, kind of loosely based off the movie I Know What You Did Last Summer with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Right, right.
As a joke. But it's a song all using hidden horror references and horror lines and all that kind of stuff, from The Evil Dead to movies like Troll 2, The Hills Have Eyes, Pinhead, The Exorcist. Like, I forget how many horror movie references are in there, but there's a lot of them. And I'm a big fan of those kind of movies, so I figured I'd have fun with it. But it's almost like a pop punk rock metal tune, if such a thing ever were to exist.
Well, probably
it does now.
We might have to end with that song. What do you think?
Right. Sure. There you go.
Now, you guys are nominated for Best Metal Band with the Boston Music Awards, right?
Yes, coming up December 8th, we will be there. It was pretty cool. Kind of just fell on our lap, and
how do you get that? How do you make that happen?
We didn't. We just keep playing shows. I mean, I think that's how you make it happen. You keep putting out records and playing shows, and people like you. Because I think, you know, that's kind of what I said when we got nominated. I said, this just fell out of thin air. But, you know, the band was like, no, we've been playing our asses off and putting out good music. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, you know?
It's funny because you're not officially notified that you are even nominated. There's like a committee or something that does the nominations.
Yeah.
And I had a friend send me this, like, thing from online. He's like, hey, congrats, man. I'm like, for what? What do you mean? He's like, you were nominated for a Best Metal Act. I'm like, we were? Like, I had no idea.
Yeah, so that's really cool. So we'll be there. And we got some other shows. We're playing The Tank in Agawam on December 3rd. And then the 11th, we're up in Salem, Mass. At a place called Kodo. So,
oh, yeah, I know that place. I played there, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We've never played there. Yeah. So that'll be cool.
We just got booked, too, in terms of, like, New England shows at Toad's Place, New Haven, Connecticut. It's like a legendary, legendary venue. When I was real young, I saw some huge bands there. And we're playing with this band, Dead by Wednesday, and this other band, Hail the Horns, which is like members of Fear Factory, Static X, Il Nino.
What's the venue's name?
Soulfly. Toad's Place, New Haven.
Oh, okay.
Huge venue. I mean, like everyone coming up from like Van Halen to Huey Lewis and the News, Journey, they've all played there. You go in there and up in the ceiling, all the like these pictures of all the legends that have played that room, and it's pretty extensive and pretty impressive.
Cool.
Yeah, it's right near Yale. It's like right in the thick of the college.
Yeah, awesome venue, like one of my favorites. It'd be like growing up in Boston and finally getting to play the Orpheum of the Paradise, like on par with that, like a pro stage, big stage, too.
Yeah.
So that's with Dead by Wednesday and a few other friends, and Hail the Horns coming up in January 15th, I believe.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
You know, everything's on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. Subscribe if you haven't yet.
Yeah, Inverter Boston's the Facebook page.
Yeah, and buy our T-shirts. He designs them.
And vote for Inverter for Best Metal Band. Yeah. You can do that now, right?
Yeah. 50% of the vote is done by the public, which is awesome. The other 50% is by the committee. So, yeah, please get your votes in. And if you already voted, I know a lot of you have. Thank you. So, yeah.
I'm sure you can find that on the Inverter Facebook page.
And, absolutely.
And, by the way, a shout-out to Jeff Lawn and Jimmy Evangelista. They're the other two members of the band who are out on a paintball tournament or something.
No. I thought they were in the desert in L.A. or something.
Yeah. They're on a vision quest right now.
Right.
Jimmy said something about a mountain of peyote.
All right.
A giant bag of Skittles, so who knows what's going on. No, but Jimmy and Jeff are the other, you know, the rhythmic backbone of the band. Those guys are awesome. We're like privileged to play with them. They have a great resume of being in killer rock bands and metal bands in the past as well, so they are part of the heart and soul of this four-piece killing machine.
Yeah, and Jeff is a monster on drums. I mean, some of the fills on these albums even, I'll call him up and, man, like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, you know? Like,
nice.
We're just playing, you know?
Yeah, before we were auditioning drummers for bands, I'm like, I told Bill, I'm like, I want a dude that hits hard. My list is very short of drummers I dig in the area, and Jeff, having played with Seventh Rail Crew, Genuflect, and a bunch of other bands, the Dropout Act, he beats the crap out of his drums.
Yeah.
And Jimmy is like, the first time I heard him play bass, I'm like, this is the guy, he's in, like, smooth as butter, but, like, hits hard, just he just knows his S. I'm trying to edit myself here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
Yeah. In fact, all four of us worked at BCN at one time. At the famous legendary Rock of Boston.
I was
radio involved.
I was even there the last year.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so yeah.
Bill got me in there.
We're all radio dudes. Hey, I want to just give a shout out to Chucky Tester. Man, it's just we lost a great Boston musician and shouts out to Tony.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Tester is just an awesome area band. We played with them so many times. They'd hook us up with gigs. Just the nicest guys. Chuck especially. He played in the Kiss tribute as well.
Yeah, that was awesome.
If you even look at the outpouring of people talking about him online, it's just this avalanche of people that were touched by the guy. And just like one of the nicest guys. You know, they say that about everyone when someone passes, but literally probably one of the nicest guys and busiest guys and most involved guys in the scene. I can't find a single person who would ever say a bad word against this guy. So it was a huge loss for, you know, friends, family, and the scene in general.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So I just wanted to get that out there because everyone's still reeling from the loss of the guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I think I'm going to let you guys go, and I'll send you off with Last Summer, huh?
Sounds good.
Thanks, man. Yeah, thank you.
For
great
having
talking
us.
To you, Brian.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
All see right. Ya. I'll see you. Okay. See you around.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Bye.
real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man, please listen. You don't know what you've been missing. Nowhere man, world is at your command. Oh. He's as blind as he can be, just sees what he wants to see. Sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
Ramone and the Intruders there, covering the Beatles, Nowhere Man. And, yeah, started that block way down with Little Billy Lost, or Glider. Glider for you. Smitty, Big Bad Boy, Glider for you. We had Little Billy Lost and the Cox of the Walk with World. Lou Reed, Kicks, the Velvet Underground, Run, Run, Run. Cramps, Human Fly. Then we had our guest today, Inverter, No Savior, Dark White Devil, Last Summer. Yes, They Called In. Rob Zombie with Blitzkrieg Bop. Ramones with I Can't Get You Out of My Mind. And yes, then there was Marky Ramone and the Intruders, Nowhere Man. I'm still getting some skips here, which is really bothering me. And luckily, the CDs aren't skipping, so that would be very embarrassing if the Inverter song skipped while I had them on the phone. But I'll play some more CD. Get away from the system that's skipping so bad. And here's a live one from the Marquee Club, 1971, Rolling Stones.
Whew, my babies.
How you feel? Good?
Thank you very much. We'd like to do a number for you called Fingerprint Fire.
Bye.
phone number, baby. They know I ain't home.
It's up.
Somebody, oh.
Pop quiz. Which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana. So why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my